Paris Saint-Germain had the early initiative in France.
Di Maria now crosses it to the near post, and it's headed in! It's Marquinhos who got the deflected header, and Paris Saint-Germain have the breakthrough at the Parc des Princes.
But an inspired second-half Manchester City performance mean they have the upper hand going into the second leg.
It's going to be Mahrez, left-footed, brilliant strike! What a goal from Riyad Mahrez! The Parisian-born Algerian with a decisive blow!
Stay with us for all the best analysis and reaction from Wednesday's semi-final first-leg encounter right here on the UEFA Champions League podcast. Okay, welcome along. I'm Rob Daly, and with me to reflect on tonight's semi-final, Richard Kaufman, our commentator and European football expert, Kevin Hatchard. Kevin, first of all, welcome to the show. Your thoughts on what we've seen at the Parc des Princes?
First of all, a terrific game.
Brilliant
game. The technical quality at times was absolutely outstanding, jaw-dropping at times. Great desire, great intensity, great tactical battles, and a superb comeback from Manchester City, because make no mistake, in that first half they were second best. Paris were comfortably keeping them at arm's length. They were posing a threat on the counter-attack, and City found a way in that second half. And I think if the second leg's half as good as this one has been, we're in for a treat.
OK, Richard, it's time for your three-word match report. Good luck.
Well, it's kind of home is away. So that's reference to Mahrez playing in Paris and scoring the away goal.
We'll take that. OK, well, let's look at the action in depth. Here's what happened when Paris Saint-Germain took on Manchester City.
Di Maria now crosses it to the near post, and it's headed in! It's Marquinhos who got the deflected header. Fabulously taken by the Brazilian. And Paris Saint-Germain have the breakthrough at the Parc des Princes. Not even 15 minutes on the clock. And it's the captain who comes up with the goods.
Now it's with Zinchenko. This is outside the area to De Bruyne, who chips it in. It's a great pass.
It's turned into a great goal. Keylor Navas was beaten by the flight of the ball, and Manchester City have a priceless away goal at the Parc des Princes. Kevin De Bruyne, who scored home and away against Paris Saint-Germain when these teams last met 5 years ago, has struck again.
It's going to be Mahrez, left-footed,
brilliant strike. What a goal from Riyad Mahrez, the Parisian-born Algerian, with a decisive blow in this UEFA Champions League semi-final. Fantastic free kick, and Manchester City have turned it around.
Gundogan. Oh, he's caught late there by Idrissa Gueye. And there's going to be a card here. It's a red card for Idrissa Gueye for that challenge. And Paris Saint-Germain, 2-1 down. And now down to 10 men for the final 13 minutes. Shaking of hands from Pep Guardiola and Mauricio Pochettino. A first half that belonged to Paris Saint-Germain. A second half that very much belonged to the away team, who are now the big favourites heading to Manchester.
Well, in the history of the European Cup and the UEFA Champions League, there have been 47 instances before tonight of an English side winning the first leg of a two-legged knockout tie away from home. And every single time, the English side has gone on to progress. We can see Pep Guardiola pitch side in the aftermath of the game being interviewed currently. I'm sure he's absolutely over the moon with that second half performance. Richard, first of all, let's get into the first half. What did Paris do so well that made, let's be honest, made life very difficult for the Premier League champions elect?
Well, first of all, they defended superbly, and then they posed a threat, didn't they? Going forward, Neymar was able to pick up the ball in various different pockets of the pitch, and they looked like a team that were going to score when they scored after 15 minutes, and they could have added to that as well. It really was, apart from the fact it was only goal, a near perfect performance. There was a couple of mistakes that threatened to let Manchester City in on a couple of occasions, particularly a Phil Foden chance right before half time, but they just did everything that Pochettino would have wanted from them. Got the goal, could have scored others, you know, defended the flanks so well. Phil Foden was a peripheral figure. Mitchell Bakker, you know, stepping in for just his third UEFA Champions League start, looked like he belonged. 1-0 at half-time was the least they deserved, really.
They followed the blueprint from what they did against Bayern, which was out of possession, have a 4-4-2. Marco Verratti was very disciplined on that left-hand side, looking after Mitchell Bakker. Angel Di Maria was tenacious on the other side. And in the middle, Leandro Paredes and Idrissa Gueye worked very, very hard, got in City's faces, just disrupted their rhythm. And with Neymar and with Mbappe, there's always that threat on the counter. What City did brilliantly in the second half was just turn up the tempo, and Paris couldn't live with it. Everything suddenly that was easy was difficult. Everything was at a stretch. They were getting pulled out of position. The tempo was higher. And in the end, that made the difference. Yes, the goal's strange. The first is a cross that sails all the way in. The second is a free kick where the ball could do better. But that all comes from territory. That all comes from City getting into positions where suddenly, bang, they can hurt Paris. Didn't do that in the first half.
Richard, you pointed out as well, I think it was Guardiola in the tunnel, pre-match, talking about possession. Now, at times he has downplayed possession in his philosophy, feeling it's, you know, possession for possession's sake is not worth it. But there was certainly something it felt like in that second half that was such a key component of the way they turned around the game, was how in control they were deep in Paris territory.
Totally. Totally. And you know, and I suppose you could say, you know, look at the tackle from Gueye, and it's a result of that, but they lost their discipline as well. I just want to say that at this point, what a joy the whole game was. I mean,
yeah,
it wasn't, you know, a seven-goal thriller in that respect, but it was just mesmeric, the technical skill from both sides, you know, not just Manchester City, of course, from Paris Saint-Germain as well, was fantastic. And the good news is, you know, we get to watch it all again. What was it, in 6 days' time?
That's right, yeah, the 4th of May. Me and Kev were just saying, I mean, we've been doing the show now for 9 years, and you wonder, obviously, you know, the standard of football does improve, it gets quicker and everything. But even from 2 or 3 years ago, I mean, the quality of the game tonight, I was going to get into it later, but let's get into it now because Richard mentioned it there and it's a nice time to do it. It was so high, Kev. The quality of touches and passes and pace and movement was just madness. It really was.
But then add that mixture into tactical responsibility, because you've got to be able to control the ball, move the ball, have the right movement, have the idea of where you want the ball to go. Then you've got to think, right, what patterns do we want to use going forward? What has the coach asked me to do? Oh, when I haven't got the ball, then I've got to think, who am I marking? Where have I got to be? If I'm pressing, what's the trigger? When do I go? Ah, yeah, that's it. All of these things,
it sounds difficult,
they're doing
doesn't it?
All yeah. the time. Yeah. And, you know, you add all of that into the mix. And then, why is football brilliant? Because sometimes it's really random. You have an incredibly high quality of play, people popping the ball around, great movement. What do we get? A cross that sails in and a free kick that flies brilliantly, struck, but flies straight through a wall. It's great because it's mad, but against the backdrop of just the most incredible technique.
Yeah, the three goals in themselves will not go down in goal of the season. I mean, it was a fantastically struck free kick, but in all probability, the wall should have stopped it, shouldn't it, really? I mean, it was a terrific header and run from Marquinhos to open the scoring. And, you know, De Bruyne's, it's a terrific cross. It turns into a fantastic goal. And you know, with 13 minutes remaining, I thought City might go on, because they were playing that well, and now they had an extra man and score 3 or 4. So in a way, Paris Saint-Germain might look back on that last 10 minutes and say, okay, not a good result, not the night we were hoping for, especially after 45 minutes. But we've shown, haven't we, what we can do against big teams away from home. We've got to do it again.
I think the only thing that will disappoint Mauricio Pochettino is the way the attacking game fell apart in the second half. They just could not get the ball to Neymar and Mbappe in areas where they could consistently do some damage.
Did they have a chance in the second half? I mean, a single
The Mbappe
chance?
Cross for Verratti that he couldn't quite up with.
Where he was turning in the penalty area.
Yeah, but apart from that, not really.
Well, it was the first time that Kylian Mbappe completed 90 minutes in a Champions League game. and failed to attempt a single shot in a game. And it's no goal in six as well in the knockout stages for Neymar as well for Paris Saint-Germain, but I thought both played exceptionally well. Let's hear from the City camp. Midfielder Kevin De Bruyne summed up the action using a good old-fashioned English cliché.
A game of two halves. I think we started well the first 10 minutes, had some control. But, you know, they're an unbelievable team and, you know, they've got the great quality up front. It's a shame about the way that we conceded. I think after that they had a couple of small chances. I think after 25 minutes we changed our pressure, the way we pressed them, and it became better. We had a couple of opportunities, especially the one with Phil. But I think the second half was much, much better. I think we put them under pressure. Obviously, the way the first goal goes in is a little bit lucky, but I think we played great, great football in the second half, and I think, we did well there.
Richard, Kevin De Bruyne there said it was lucky. What did you make to the goal? Because I'll give my assessment very briefly. It's a great ball. It's not hit with a great deal of pace. And to deceive Keylor Navas, I was surprised because there doesn't really actually seem to be a player properly attacking it. It's not like, you know, those ones where it just touches someone's hair almost and goes in. It didn't really seem like there was anyone attacking it. What did you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those crosses, isn't it? I mean, not sure how many cricket fans there are with us, but Geoffrey Boycott, famous cricket player turned commentator, talked about the corridor of uncertainty, and that's exactly where the ball was floated into. As a goalkeeper, do you come for it because someone gets their head on it and you're completely embarrassed, and you don't go for it, someone doesn't get a touch and you're embarrassed like he was because he couldn't get across to stop it? I mean, De Bruyne wasn't trying to score with that ball in, but he did.
I think he's a little unnerved by the traffic because Richard's right. Nobody really makes an effort to go for it, but he can see John Stones moving in at pace at the far post. He knows he's got defenders who are going for it in the centre. So as a goalkeeper, you're thinking, if anybody gets even the slightest tickle on this, it's going to change the trajectory of the ball, and I've then got to react. But usually when goalkeepers do that, they're still edging to where they think the ball might go anyway.
Well, they have to, don't they, in theory? Yeah.
But he doesn't quite do that. He doesn't quite get his feet moving. The other thing that I think will disappoint Mauricio Pochettino a little is they're actually really slow to react in the first place. When City first have that ball, when they first play the ball, nobody's really set. And I actually think the defenders are a little bit all over the place when the ball comes in. So I think he will look at both goals and think, we've let ourselves down a little bit there. But you have to give City credit for having territory in the Paris half. And as Kevin De Bruyne quite rightly said there, putting them under relentless pressure. We've got the ball. We're going to move you around. We're going to make you work. We're going to tire you out. And then eventually, concentration slips.
Like it did for the free kick when they were pinging it. I mean, the way they were pinging it around for when Foden won it was absurd. Let's get an assessment at the halfway stage of the tie from the City boss, Pep Guardiola.
Sometimes you need time, you know, to be more relaxed, to be a little bit ourselves. The first half was, it's normal. It's 180 minutes. You don't want to lose the balls. You don't play free. You don't. And especially we changed a little bit the way we press. We were more aggressive. The first 20 minutes we were more so passive. And the last 10, 15 minutes first half, second half, we were more aggressive because it's not easy to do it against Neymar and Mbappé and Di Maria. But and after we found the goals and we could score another one. But in general, is so satisfied for the performance. But it's the halfway, so we still have 90 more minutes to beat them. And PSG is a team like everything can happen.
It was a crazy, 13 minutes in the tie where everything seemed to change. Paris were one up and then they were 2-1 down and down to 10 men. They are winless in four games against City, including the quarter-final tie where they were beaten by City in 15-16. The red card, Richard, was that symptomatic of frustration on Idrissa Gunnigay's part?
I don't know. I don't think it was anything premeditated. It was just a poor challenge, and I think it was symptomatic of the fact that they just weren't getting the ball. They couldn't get hold of the ball, and, you know, there's a thin line, isn't there, between aggression and recklessness, and unfortunately Gay went the wrong line of it.
It was just too high.
It was. It was. Thankfully, Gundogan's okay because it was a. I mean, it was a definite red card. I mean, it's not even a debate amongst us. It was a straight red every day of the week. He can have no complaints. Pochettino, Paris Saint-Germain can have no complaints. We just got to be grateful that there was nothing serious in the end to Gundogan because that could have ended in a serious injury.
I think it just encapsulated Paris's loss of control in the second half. And I don't mean loss of control in the sense that Idrissa Gueye's lost control, because he hasn't. He's just trying to get the ball and he gets it wrong. What I mean is, in the first half, everything was, well, not quite comfortable for them, but they had control in the sense that Paredes, Idrissa Gueye, Verratti could all get to the ball. They could all get to the ball carrier, couldn't really allow City to have that rhythm. Second half, it's like they're on a carousel. They're just spinning. They just could not get any kind of control. And so I think he's just trying to get to the ball, but he's a step late and he gets it wrong. He will accept that, I'm sure. And that just summed up how hard Paris were having to work and how difficult they found it to just get anywhere near City in possession after half time.
They did seem to, Paris seemed to have control of Phil Foden largely for the first half. He was probably the player Pochettino picked up, but you look at his numbers at the end of the game, 3 out of 3 shots on target, 3 out of 3 take on successful, 95% pass accuracy, 62 probably delightful touches over the course of the game. I mean, what interests me, Kev, about Mbappe and Haaland, and we've spoken about this before, is it feels like they're so young, obviously, but their time is already now.
Yeah.
There are some players where you go, well, they're doing it at this level, but it'll happen in 3 or 4 years. With Foden and Mbappe and Haaland, they just feel a different ilk. And it does feel like Foden, yep. You know, is. I think you were alluding to this as well, Richard, actually.
Yeah, I just want to pick up there. You talk about Haaland and you talk about Phil Foden, of course. You know, these are very young players. Kylian Mbappe as well is 22. And I know we focus on the forward players, but I think there's a young player that's a defender, Ruben Dias. He's only 23. I mean, he's faced Haaland. He's faced Mbappe tonight. You just mentioned he didn't have a shot tonight, Mbappe. I mean, how good is he? I mean, defensively, I think, you know, Manchester City, they went 700-odd minutes without conceding in the UEFA Champions League. I think they've only conceded 24 goals in the Premier League this season. He's made the defenders like John Stones around him better as well. He's only 23.
I think as well, just going back to your point about Foden and Haaland and Mbappe, those players, a real kind of testament to their quality is that even when they're nowhere near the ball, they're a threat and they influence the game. Just by being on the pitch, because if you know that a Haaland or an Mbappe or a Foden can really damage you on the counter-attack, you're always thinking, right, we can't overcommit here, we can't take risks here. And that is an incredible thing for players of their age, to basically influence the entire game, whether they're in possession or whether they're not in possession. And even if you think they've had a quiet game, I guarantee you, when you look back on that game, you'll think, oh, wow, look how hard that team had to work just to keep them quiet.
And how mature is it if you're Phil Foden, that I was mentioning for half an hour, he can't get the ball. I mean, he nearly scored at the end of the first half. And, you know, in the second half, went on wonderful run where the ball stuck to his foot like glue. And again, he shot straight at the goalkeeper. But he had the opportunities. He managed to have the maturity not to panic and somehow force his way back into the game.
God, the goals are really sent them through in the quarterfinals for Foden. It was interesting after the Dortmund game, saw the famous shots of him and Haaland having a chat. And then after this game, it was Neymar who picked him out for a conversation. OK, more on this to come. Paris 1, City 2. Coming up, we'll be looking ahead to next week's semi-final, second leg action.
Enjoy the UEFA Champions League action with Matchday Live, then vote for your player of the week. You can pick your favourite on the official UEFA Champions League app from midnight Central European time on Wednesday, with the winner announced there on Friday.
All Okay, let's take a look ahead to next week's games now. Next Wednesday, either Paris or Manchester City. We'll find out who they'll face in the final in Istanbul. The other tie is beautifully poised after the first leg, as Chris Parrott explains.
Real Madrid against Chelsea always looked a tight tie on paper, and so it turned out despite a thrilling first half in Spain last night.
And the goalkeeper comes, the offside flag has stayed down, it's still Pulisic, goes round the keeper, and he scores! Outstanding from Pulisic, but what a start Chelsea have made!
Pulisic's goal came shortly after Timo Werner had spurned a golden chance. And ultimately, the English side were made to pay.
It's headed back into play and it's not cleared by Chelsea. And that's the equaliser, Karim Benzema. The warning signs were there a few minutes ago. And now he has emphatically found the back of the net.
That strike drew Benzema level with Raul on the all-time goal-scoring list in the Champions League. Only Robert Lewandowski, Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo are now ahead of him. The second period was much quieter in heavy rain. The Chelsea captain Cesar Azpilicueta was content at full time.
We started really well. In the first 20-25 minutes, we got the goal. I think we could score more goals. It's just the first half. In the semi-final, we knew that.
So Chelsea may be slight favourites ahead of the second leg in a week. Eden Hazard says Real Madrid will go to London with great optimism, though.
It could be worse and it could be better. So I think we have a second leg to play over there. We have to go there to try to win the game.
He came on for 30 minutes against his former club. Might Hazard be the key in the second leg at Stamford Bridge? The tie is perfectly set up for next week. You'd be brave to predict who's going through.
Chris Parrott there, Kevin Hatchard with me, Rob Daly now. Kev, your thoughts on the second leg? What do you think's going to be the mindset of Thomas Tuchel and Zinedine Zidane going into that one in West London?
I think Tuchel will want to do what he always does, which is control the tempo, control possession, try and use Chelsea's pace in behind that Real Madrid defence. And Real will think, OK, we will try and win that midfield battle as well, and we will try and use Vinicius's pace on the counter, stay in the game. Because the longer they stay in the game, they've got a world-class striker in Karim Benzema, who in the first game changed the whole dynamic with a world-class finish. I mean, the volley is outrageous, really. So if you have players of that quality, they will have belief. So for me, I think they'll want to stay in the game. They might not mind Chelsea having a fair bit of the ball. I think what they'll want to avoid is the first 20-25 minutes that we saw in Madrid, because I think that was a bit uncomfortable for them. I think they were pulled apart a little bit in the opening exchanges, so yeah, they want to hang in there.
They found it very difficult, Real Madrid, in the opening stages of the game. Let's have a look at some of the paper reaction in the 24 hours since the game for the Estadio Alfredo Di Stefano. In the Madrid Sports Daily's marker, with a big shot of behind the goal, Karim Benzema, you know, thumping in that brilliant volley that he set up for himself. A draw keeps the dream alive, their headline. And as the other paper there, Benzema is the hope, was their front page on Wednesday morning. And in the English media, lots of focus not only on Christian Pulisic and his brilliant goal, but the efforts of N'Golo Kanté and Jorginho. And I suppose it's not a surprise, Kev, given the way that we know that you will have seen as well, Thomas Tuchel line his teams up down the years, that the Conte and Jorginho are so important to Chelsea already.
In a Tuchel team, central midfield is the key, because he wants that control. You look at his history, a guy like Julian Weigl was massively important at Borussia Dortmund. He always wants that player that can keep the ball moving, find the angles. He loves that positional play where the guy on the ball's always got more than one option. That's why he's been such a big fan of Mateo Kovacic. Conte gives you something else, because he gives you that ridiculous energy level where he can just charge around the field, win the ball for you. But I think what people don't talk about enough with Conte is that once he has won that ball, he can make ground and he can pull people out of position and he can make space for others. So that's a really good pairing. And I think the thing is, you look at Tuchel's results since he got there, they are fabulous, but he has a really good squad.
And a good defence as well, despite the fact they conceded to Real Madrid. They've been racking up the clean sheets under Tuchel, as have Madrid. So we'll see what happens in the second leg at 1-1. Zinedine Zidane admitting after the game, "We wanted to press from minute one, But he's quite honest, our game plan didn't work. And Marcelo, the left back, who was captain on the day, said we had to adapt. And we did that. And they always seem to do that, Real Madrid, under Zinedine Zidane. So we'll wait and see who will be in the final next week. Richard Kaufman, it sets up two beautiful ties for next week, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, it's Real Madrid, isn't it? You know, it just takes a moment. Hazard back at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea are favourites, of course. But it takes a moment of inspiration, maybe a mistake, you know, it's still finely balanced. And as for this one, I don't know if you remember going back to earlier on this evening where I started off by talking about Star Trek and the final frontier.
Oh, I remember.
Manchester
Richard.
City are now 90 minutes away from their first final. And of course, you should go from Star Trek, if you indulge me, to Star Wars, because of course, it's May the 4th. Oh. So may the 4th be with you, Man City or Paris Saint-Germain.
He went there. Richard's very good. And it's funny because it does feel like the old Real Madrid. I remember certainly when Real Madrid was starting to clock up the back-to-back Champions Leagues, and it felt like lazy punditry almost to go, but it's Real Madrid, you know. They can, but it feels like a real thing, doesn't it? They can turn that tie around.
It's experience. It's experience. It's a coach who is quite pragmatic, and he will say to them, look, we have to stay in this second leg. We can't go gung-ho. We can't open things up really early on. We don't have to chase that away goal immediately, because he knows he has world-class players who in a moment, in a flash, can completely change a game. So that is really on a knife edge. That away goal obviously gives Chelsea a tangible advantage, but I think it's a very small one.
Let's switch things back to Paris Saint-Germain 1, Manchester City 2. Unsurprisingly, Ander Herrera always seems to come out, doesn't he, after a defeat. Great talker. His assessment of the game and the two goals they conceded in that second half.
The two goals that they scored came from almost from nothing. The first goal was a cross that at the end finished in the goal, and the second goal was the wall that opened and we let the ball go inside. I think the key moment of the game was in the second half when we had the chance of Berratti. We didn't score that chance, and after that the two accidents came. Now we have to prepare the second game. We have to forget what happened today. We have a lot of talent. We have already won away against top teams, and we are going to try to do the same.
Well, the game finished, what, about 30 minutes ago, and the players are already on Twitter. Riyad Mahrez saying 90 minutes left. Of course, he played a key role tonight. And it's worth noting, Manchester City, the first English side to win 6 successive games in the competition in a single season since Leeds United. 1969-1970.
Wow.
That's staggering. I wouldn't have thought that. Okay, so let's get some thoughts on tonight's key players. Richard Kaufman, we've got a bit of time here. Can we get a player of the match from you and your reasons why?
Yeah, I suppose you should say Kevin De Bruyne, but I'm going to go for Ruben Diaz, because I just felt he marshalled the defence so well, as he has done throughout the season. For Manchester City, he's got to be up there for player of the year for me, and as a result, you know, he stepped up again tonight. We've talked about how Mbappe was unable to get a single shot away.
I'm going to have an unsung hero here, and it's going to sound unusual because it's a Paris player, but I'm going to go for Angel Di Maria, because I thought he showed incredible tactical discipline. He made it really tough for City, especially in the first half. He showed ambition with the ball. There was one great attempt at a through ball for Mbappe.
Well, when he won the ball in his own half and then dribbled around someone, that was extraordinary.
And then played a lovely left-footed ball down the inside right channel looking for Mbappe. So I thought he was terrific, even though he was on the losing side.
OK, let's put the guys on the spot now. Richard, who's going through from this tie?
Well, I'll tell you, it's going to be a Real Madrid Manchester City final.
Oh, Kevin. What do you reckon?
I think it's going to be an all-English final. I think it's Manchester City against Chelsea.
I think I'm going that way as well. Richard, Kev, nice one. Thank you very much for your company. That's all we have time for this evening. We will be back on the 4th of May, as Richard Kaufman rightly said, at 8 p.m. CET for the semi-final second leg of City Paris, with City leading 2-1 on aggregate. Don't forget to download our podcast shortly after every single match night in the UEFA Champions League via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.